Decide to decide. Throughout this book, I've shared a lot of my own personal demons and 3 a.m. holy crap moments and what I decided to do as a result of them. These middle-of-the-night, scary-as-you-can-imagine moments are an integral part in the life of an entrepreneur. In interviewing some of the members of my Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program for some of the concepts and ideas we've talked about, I've also asked each of them about their 3 a.m. moments, what they learned from them, and what they decided to do as a result. There was one great nugget of information after the other as we spoke, so I'm going to share them with you now in this final chapter. Let's talk about poverty consciousness. Best-selling author Brad Zala says it this way: I have whittled down the poverty consciousness that was taught to me as a child and that contributes to my head trash to smaller and smaller pieces, but I still catch myself once in a while having a bit of reversion. Poverty consciousness doesn't mean you're poor. It means you place limitations within your consciousness that actually make no sense whatsoever. Long ago, a friend of mine, a Vietnam vet, a Navy vet, was living a joyous life. He traveled the world, lived an abundant lifestyle. He wasn't making a lot of money, but living this great lifestyle. He obviously wasn't living a poverty consciousness. On the other hand, I've met millionaires who won't hire a nurse to care for a sick loved one because they're counting their pennies, stuck in a poverty consciousness without joy. They're living in misery. I've always analyzed this in myself. There was a certain amount of guilt when I became successful, thinking I was supposed to be like this because wealth carried negative connotations. I decided not to live with a poverty consciousness. I took out that trash. It shifts your energy and mindset when you change your thinking and your mindset about the way you are going to live. Very profound words. Thank you, Brad. Dr. Carrie DeRisga shared her 3 a.m. moment. About 6 months after I had the revelation about my fear of success, I was reflecting on my year and wasn't happy. Goals didn't get accomplished, and I was still struggling financially, still stuck in the same spot. It hit me that I was the problem. I was getting in my own way. I also realized that I was a bag of excuses and no action. I made the commitment to get out of my own way and put my money where my mouth was. I joined Jim's highest level coaching program, the VIP Elite, so that putting a lot of pressure, financial pressure on me would cause me to act. 4 months later, my book was off to the publisher. I rebranded, added 3 new websites, started my blog and a podcast, and I finally started my own video channel. Taking a long, hard look at myself and realizing that I was the problem made the difference. Ultimately, it was up to me. If this was going to work, I had to step into a zone of uncomfortableness. Now my practice is growing and people are coming from quite a distance, including across the country, and there are now international patients as well. When you become known as the go-to person in your niche and market it using Jim's million-dollar platform, people will seek you out. Oh, that's a great story from Dr. Carey. Dr. Michelle Summers Kahlon talks about getting clarity. There was a moment when I questioned what I really wanted. Once I got clarity about that, it became easy to move forward and get past the doubts. I know that I'm helping others and being of service while maintaining alignment with my core beliefs and true desires. Wonderful. And here's Gary George on his 3 a.m. moment. When financial pressures hit, it's a big motivator for me. There were times when I was very concerned about where the next dollar was coming from. One day I said to myself, you need to use all the skills that you use for your clients on yourself. That's a big revelation for a lot of us sometimes. And Gary continued, I also realized it takes the same amount of time to land a big client as a small client. I realized that what was holding me back was head trash. I thought these corporations would never do business with a solopreneur like me. But when I finally got up enough gumption to call on them, I realized these guys didn't know as much as I did. They were glad to bring me in as part of their team. A big turning point for me, Gary continues, in working with bigger companies was realizing that I'm just as smart as they are. They're regular people. When I started working with celebrities, it was also intimidating. But I learned so fast that they're normal, regular people. They would disassociate themselves with fans. They enjoyed being around people who weren't starstruck and always agreeing with them. Now they tell me that I taught them X, Y, and Z. Wonderful. And Susie Miller summed up her 3 a.m. realization this way. The biggest 3 a.m. moment for me was, if not now, when? Someday never comes. Do I want to stay the same or go for it? There's a 55-foot high cliff in Hawaii that I'd seen in a movie, and the characters jumped off of it, and I always wanted to do that. One time I was on vacation there, I jumped off that cliff and realized I would probably never be in Hawaii again, and I asked, if not now, when? I sucked it up and jumped, and I was scared. It became a metaphor in my business and my personal life, too. Jumping scared and no more wasting time. I took a picture of that cliff and put it on my desk. I love how Susie has that picture on her desk, and it serves as both reminders and inspiration. You know, visualization is very powerful. For many years, I kept a picture of me driving a rented ski boat that we had on vacation. It was sitting on my desk. I love boats. My biggest goal and dream was to have my own boat someday. And so every day as I'm sitting at my desk, I'm looking at the picture of me driving this ski boat. I think I was towing a tube with my kids behind, just having a great time. And last year, I made my dream come true, and I now have a larger framed picture on my desk. I have a 30-foot Sea Ray boat, which is just a dream come true for me. And so there's two powerful lessons here, folks. If there's something you want and strive for, make sure you see it all the time. The constant visualization triggers something in the brain, and your subconscious mind will work to figure out how to make it happen. Secondly, and the larger point is this, dreams do come true. Despite many problems, we live in an amazing country where you are free to pursue just about anything you want. If you want a dream business and you want to live your dream lifestyle, I believe that you can make it happen. Like me, you can take your small photograph of a rented dream and actually create the dream that you want. I guarantee you this, it will not be easy. No matter how talented you are, your journey will likely be harder than you thought, but in the end, it will be so rewarding. Remember the lesson I shared about my daughter wanting to join the mastermind program? There is no free lunch. And any sort of feeling you have about being entitled to something or that everything will be amazing if you could just win the lottery, you know, lottery ticket thinking will slow you down. Believing that there is the possibility of an amazing shortcut or windfall will slow down your brain. Even buying a lottery ticket, even if you know the odds are a gazillion to one, simply buying the lottery ticket tells your brain, I could get lucky. Don't do that. It tells your brain, no worries, we don't have to do X, Y, and Z right now. There is an easier way. I could get lucky. The sooner you have your holy crap 3 a.m. moment, and more importantly, the faster you engage your talents and your abilities, the talent and abilities of other successful people who have blazed the trail ahead of you, the sooner you will create your dream business. You know, there's a great line in the movie Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith portraying Chris Gardner. In this scene, Chris Gardner is talking to his young son, and he says, don't let anyone ever tell you you can't do something, not even me. You got a dream, you got to protect it. People can't do something themselves, they tell you you can't do it. If you have a dream, you go get it, period. I remember a time, I love that movie, by the way, it's an awesome movie. I remember a time when my self-esteem and my confidence were in tatters. I was broke, heavily in debt, had just fought cancer, and that's when I started my first business, and I fought the first 12 months just to get my first client. In the meantime, because my kids wanted to have a steady supply of food, in addition to Stephanie working, I took a job stocking shelves at Target. I'm going to share something with you that I've rarely shared before, but I'm going to end this book in the way I promised to be in the beginning. I'm going to be completely transparent in ways I can show you my journey, but also maybe inspire you. I took a job at Target stocking shelves. I woke at 4 a.m. and stocked shelves, as I described, with boxes of Tide for hours on end. I would then drive home around noontime. I went to work on my business, went to networking events, cold calling, knocking on doors, did everything I could. In the evenings, after a quick dinner with family, I'd disappear up to networking events at local chambers of commerce. I sometimes went to two events. If there were two in different places, I would be early to one, stay there for about, 45 minutes or an hour, try and shake as many hands as I could, and I'd zoom across town to the next one and repeat it. I'd then be home by 8:30 or 9, and I'd fall into bed, ready for the next 4 a.m. alarm. Sometimes, occasionally, because this was a Target literally 4 miles from my home, I didn't disappear. And remember, well, you probably don't remember, but when my job was eliminated in 2000, I was VP of marketing for a training company. I'd done pretty well for myself. And now here I was stocking shelves at Target. And occasionally, some friends would walk in. I remember one day a friend walked in and said, "Hey, Jim, how does that feel, stocking shelves at Target?" And I told him, "You know what? As a father and a man, I need to do what I need to do. My kids want to eat, and I've got bills to pay, so I'm doing what I need to do while I grow my business." When I look back on those long days of stress and anxiety, and with the clarity of hindsight, I realize that me taking a job at Target, stocking shelves, when I was an entrepreneur, when I was a business owner, I owned my own business, right? It was set on my business card. I was the founder and president of Dynamic Communication, yet there I was getting up at 4 a.m. to stock shelves at Target. When I was an entrepreneur and I was working in Target, I realize now that was my first opportunity to prove to myself that I was all in. I was willing to invest in my future growth and profitability. Nobody was going to stop me, not even myself. So I'm going to close, and we're going to wrap up this book, and I want you to think about this coaching session that we've just had, and I do call this a coaching session. Somebody who I shared an advanced copy of the book with said, "Jim, this is like a coaching session between the covers," and I kind of like that. So I'm going to close this coaching session with a few thoughts that I'd like you to think about. It's time for you to decide that now is the time. It's time for you to decide to jump in. It's time for you to decide to take out the head trash that is holding you back. It's time for you to decide to get clarity about what you really want, how you define success, and go for it. It's time for you to decide that you deserve all the wealth and success that you can create. It's time for you to decide to stop being the impediment to your own success. It's time for you to invest in your future growth and profitability. My final question to you is this: if not now, when? If not now, when, folks? I learned in 2001, when I was just trucking along, I got a diagnosis in stage 2 cancer, and for a while, I didn't know if my chances of being alive in 5 years were 80-20 or 50-50. Thankfully, it was 80-20. I'm still many years later, going on 14 years, a cancer survivor, so I'm grateful to God for that. But I got a very quick realization of, when you look at your mortality, and I realize how short life can be. If you're struggling, maybe you're at six figures, maybe you're at mid six figures, and whatever you do, whatever you want to go to, wherever you want to take your dream business, the dream lifestyle that you want to create for yourself, it's time. Decide right now that now is the time. Because if not now, when?